Back here at the Ravens Team Hotel in New Orleans, and you never know who's going to stop on by our set here. Brent Q and Attack Team Wednesday. Stan White also in the house. Greg Sullen here. Jake Cottrell back on Television Hill. And I think if you were a Ravens fan when the team arrived in 1996, probably the jersey worn most was not number 52. I think it was probably number 81, Q, and that was of Ravens wide receiver Michael Jackson, who may have had the greatest single season for any Ravens wide receiver back when the team first got here. 1,200 yards, 14 touchdowns for Michael Jackson. Michael joins us now. Thank you so much for coming by, Michael.
Q, say you cannot say it like that.
I was worried about saying that, Q.
No.
Q did it. Q's numbers stand on their own.
Absolutely.
I yield to the man who set the tone. When you set the tone and you set the precedent, that's where you just sit back and say, you know what? I'll just build upon what he already established. I'm fine. I'm comfortable with that.
And I verbally pass that torch back to the one that wears the Super Bowl ring.
Fair enough.
Well, then I would say that they're your foundation that was set in good soil, strong ground. There's that foundation of Ismael that has that ring. But now we're talking about this group and their potential with Anquan Boldin and Torrey Smith and what they've been able to do. From your vantage point, where do you see this receiving core as far as how they've been able to play this year?
I see it as actually the evolution of a Michael Jackson, Derek Alexander tandem there, especially with those two guys. Yeah. Anquan is unbelievable when it comes to making a tough catch, pulling it in, whether it's someone on him or he's just out there alone and just look like he can't get it, and he comes down with it somehow. I think that's great. And then you have Smith, who is vertical. You can't beat the guy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. And I look at this year, this team, they went through their ups and downs, but overall they've been able to overcome the adversity that they had faced. In football and in life, you're going to face, you know, a level of adversity, but talk about how it is from a football standpoint to come together as a team rather than pull yourself apart when it comes to losses. If it, in this particular case, it was a three-game loss, losing to Pittsburgh, very tough one, then coming back and not really finishing off the season the way they knew how.
Well, that's very important, and it's when you look to your teammates. You can't look outside to see where the problem is because the problem lies right there where you are. And so that's why when you tell people, say, look within yourself and find it within you to give us all that you can, because you're here because we know that you're the best at that position. We know that you're the best at what we're doing here collectively once we're together. And it's just a matter of us going out and exercising that talent as one unit. And I think that's where the downfall were when they had the little three-game slide. You know, you had a lot of players that probably was trying to do the most to make this thing happen, but even when you say, I need to be more involved, or I need to do this, that, and other, well, it's still a team thing.
Yeah.
And it requires all of you, and that's why they put all of those components together. And it's just like that engine. If one cylinder is not firing, then you're not going to be going very fast.
How much do you still follow the game day to day, week to week, year to year?
I secretly follow the game because as a just a civilian, as I would say, in the game, in this sport, it's tough for me to follow because sitting there and listening to fans, the fan perspective is a lot different than that of a former player. And so to sit there and try to tell someone what should have happened when the commentators are saying what your eyes just told you happened, then it's a lot different because you're like, no, based off of this guy, this should have happened over there. It's not that it was the receiver this time. It was a quarterback maybe, or it was a lineman that caused something to change. So it's hard to tell just your average everyday fan those things.
Now, the last time we had you on was election night, so a few months ago in November, and you were running for re-election. You've had one term as the mayor in a town in Louisiana, and then tell us about election night and what you're doing now.
Well, my name was on the ballot for election night. My desire had fallen so
I remember talking that night. It was
yes. Well, because in an effort to try to educate the citizens of the village of Tangipahoa on the way that it will require a tax base and different ways of generating revenue in order for the town to be successful, it's not understood because you're operating a poverty-ridden town. Excuse me. You're operating a poverty-ridden town, and for individuals to understand what it takes to become successful and the things that you have to sacrifice and from a borrowing perspective, they don't realize that, hey, you bought a house and you didn't pay for it today. It took you had a 30-year mortgage on it.
Right.
So the town is just like trying to erect a house. And you have to go out and you have to put yourself into some debt in order to move forward. And that's what people don't understand. And my counsel was very stagnant and they didn't want to do anything. So I told them, look, if you guys really want to grow, then I'll be reelected. If you don't want to grow and you want to go back 50 years, then you'll put someone in that's been here for 25 years prior to my administration. And guess what they did? That had been there 25 years on the council, never would make a decision, and I'm actively trying to help her, but then there's still resistance with that because she's never been a mayor. She's never been anything remotely close to that, even though she was sitting as mayor pro tem. But no decisions was ever made by these people. And now I sit there in the council meetings as a citizen of the village, and I suggest things, and I think I can get more things done from that perspective.
So you don't think you'll ever run again, or maybe leave that door open?
I won't say that because I love the life of that exciting life, I guess. In politics, is much like that's sure. The closest thing I can get to without getting the pounding that I would get out on a football field.
Interesting.
I just look at, I think, what you're saying, it's about helping people. And I think, in this medium of playing sports, I mean, there's a dynamic that can cross over. Did you see that dynamic as far as what you took from the field and the synergies and energies that it took there to then apply it to what amounts to helping people in their lives?
Absolutely, because the discipline is the biggest thing. Discipline yourself to be able to deal with all of the rhetoric that's going to come along with people that don't understand but know that, okay, well, this is how we do things here. Well, that's how it hasn't worked. So you have to try something that you don't even believe, that you've never seen, that you just can't even think that it's possible. And so when you do that, that's that excitement of I guess, in comparison to football, to where you're going down to the last few seconds and the ball is in the air and it's you that has to make that play.
Yeah. No one else. You got to trust your system to put yourself in a position
to make
that play. Yeah.
Yes, you have to.
I do want to ask you, Michael, about the Hall of Fame vote that will be announced late Saturday with two guys who you know very well on the ballot. One, Art Modell, your former boss for many years going back to the days in Cleveland. The other is Jonathan Ogden. Those two gentlemen, let's start actually with J.O., the original drafted Raven. And just tell us about that guy when he was 21, 22 years old coming to Baltimore and his immediate success in the league.
If J.O. doesn't make the first ballot Hall of Fame, then, I really don't know what football's about. And that's just to be honest with you. And that's not even speaking of someone that's a receiver. And, that's where my yeah. So, but this guy.
I have to work with those types of guys.
I'm just saying. Come on now.
I know. But J.O. is. I mean, he is the guy. When we first came there, I think J.O. played a little guard or something to that effect, and then next thing you know, he was the best tackle in the NFL. He is if Michael didn't exist, J.O.'s story would be the Michael Orr story as it relates to his ability.
Mm-hmm.
The personal things, I can't say that those things would.
Right,
but
he
is what everybody would deem Michael Orr to be by way of his book.
And then about Art Modell?
Art, again, I don't see any reason why he would even not be a consideration to go into the Hall of Fame. And it's funny because I spoke with a radio station out of Cleveland, Ohio, and, of course, the people are still bitter about the move and so forth. But as I told them, Art Modell is the reason that you're able to see all of these games on television and so forth. He's the reason that you had a team. And he made a move based on his business, not on the fact that he didn't want to be in Cleveland.
Right.
He was a diehard Ohio, a Buckeye, I guess I should say. but he made a decision for his business. And that's just like in comparison to the LeBron move. Same thing. Yep. He made a business decision, not a personal decision, because he's an Ohio boy as well. to the heart. And so that's what Art was. And Art made that move strictly a business move, not anything personal against the city of the citizens of Cleveland, Ohio. And I think that they should support the fact that he's in the Hall of Fame.
Well, Michael, great stuff. And
yeah,
really appreciate you swinging by here and talking with us. I think a lot of people, Ravens fans, and I was one of them, look at you as one of the great ambassadors when football returned here. And we're very grateful for that. And obviously the football on the field was also great from you. So thank you so much. Are you pulling for the Ravens on Sunday?
Of course I am. I'm pulling for the city.
I saw Ozzie gave you a big hug just there.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
You guys go back a long way.
But he didn't slip a ring on my finger, though. So the foundation... All of the structure that was erected upon the foundation will have rings, but the foundation is just sitting there bearing the weight still. The weight of disappointment.
Well, my Ravens wide out, Michael Jackson. Michael, thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
Thank you guys for having me on.
We're back with more next year on Sportsline.